That's how you hit some of these milestones. It's not just with new content being super popular right when it's shared. It's by having a huge library of content that answers people's questions, gives value, and is interesting and engaging. And, you know, there's that trust that's built that creates those opportunities.
Hey there, friends. Welcome to the Marketing Should Be Fun podcast, where we believe marketing is something you get to do, not something you have to do. We hope you leave here encouraged, inspired, and a little more excited to share your gifts with the world.
Well, welcome back to another episode of Marketing Should Be Fun. My name is Austin Savage, and I'm here with my good friend and business partner, Kelsey Sarko. Kelsey, how's it going today?
You know, on our 18th try of introing this episode, I'm doing awesome.
Sometimes technical difficulties happen to everyone, even when you manage a bajillion podcasts.
It's true.
It is what it is. But we're here now. And I've told you this before on a different recording of this episode, but I want to tell you now anyways. It was 80 degrees here yesterday, and that felt awesome because I felt like I was living in Texas without having to live in Texas. So thank you for sending good vibes my way.
You're welcome. We just had a rainy day this morning. However, the sun did come out and I sat on my back porch with my computer while my dog was playing in the yard and just enjoyed the sun while I uploaded everyone's podcast this morning to social. It was lovely.
That is lovely. That is so lovely. We did a beach day yesterday. So I put on some tunes. This was after the workday. It was not during the workday. And I kind of wish that maybe I'll do that today. I don't know.
It's a little more cloudy. No judgment. Yeah.
Yeah. Beach days are not actual beach days. We just put out the sprinkler and I just sit and listen to music and my kids and I call it a beach day. So it's pretty fun.
I love that. And you have a new trampoline now. So your whole life is changed and it's just a brand new outlook on life.
It is. And you have called the trampoline the best babysitter that you could invest in.
Honestly, it's been pretty good. I think the best story is that you just came home from vacation and it was there.
Literally, I was on vacation and my wife sent me a photo and she said, I mowed the yard for you. And I was like, oh, sweet. Like, that's so nice. Like, thank you very much. And then she's like an hour later, she was like, this is why I mowed the yard.
Did she like put it together by herself?
Yes. Yes. I mean, she had a friend come over and it was just like, anyways, I had no idea that she has been talking about it for a long time, but she had been talking about like getting one that was already assembled from like, from somebody who was selling it on like Facebook Marketplace or something. Anyways, but she ended up just buying a new one and putting it together. So that is our life now.
It's amazing. It's literally going to change your life. You will have so many, my kids play out there for hours on end and all their friends come over and you'll get so much more done because your kids will just be on the trampoline.
I love it. Are they expensive? I have no idea how much money she spent on this thing.
I mean, we got ours for Christmas for our kids and it was like under $300. So I don't think it's that
crazy.
Not
like crazy. Okay. No. Okay.
I mean, I don't know what, you know, maybe you have like,
maybe she got a fancy one.
Top of the line.
The logo doesn't look that cool on it. So it makes me think that it's not that good, but
well, that's probably best. I mean, I feel like my this or that question for today falls right in line with like,
well, let's do it.
Beach day, trampoline, living the life. Okay. So you just got back from vacation. You went on that. What's the like technical name? Is it the Bourbon Trail?
Well, yeah, it was like part of the Bourbon Trail. There's like 80 distilleries or something on the Bourbon Trail. So we obviously did not go to 80 different distilleries, but I did go to 8, which was fun.
Okay.
So
I mean, 88, you know, close.
It's the same thing. Yeah.
Anyway, it sounds amazing. Super fun. And then I was thinking about how summer is coming up and it's almost Cinco de Mayo. And so all of these things led me to our question for today. Do you like to have your margaritas on the rocks or frozen?
Oh, this is a great question. My best friend and my wife they are both big fans of margaritas. They love margaritas. I am not a margarita person in general. Okay.
I wondered, I was like, maybe he doesn't like either one.
So like I will drink them, but I would rather just have something else. And so that's my answer. I feel like if I'm going to have one, I would rather have it on the rocks, but they're just a little tangy for me. And they're not really boozy enough for me, I feel like.
Well, it's the wrong person is making your margaritas. I hate to tell you.
maybe that's true. But yeah, I mean, I'm pretty simple. I usually am either drinking a whiskey neat or a beer.
Those are the two things. The question I should have asked is like, how do you drink your whiskey or whatever? But I was like, I don't know enough about that subject to even know the words to say. So neat. There we go. That's the word.
Yeah. How do you have your margaritas?
Honestly, I will have them anyway you hand them to me. But lately I've kind of been on the rocks. I used to always be frozen. I feel like
interesting.
They taste a little less sweet if they're on the rocks. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I mean, we live in Texas now. So like you can't go somewhere and get a bad margarita. I mean, there's just Mexican restaurants at your fingertips that are delicious and amazing. So we have a favorite here in town that it's called Lost Colony, and they make the best margaritas that I've ever had in my life. So
that's fun. Do you usually go with just like the original flavor, or do you get like a flavored margarita with something different?
OG all the way. I've had some bad experiences with flavored margaritas, and so I just stick to what I know. We're in a summer state of mind on the podcast today, ladies and gentlemen. Just buckle up.
The funny thing is, like, I just, my son put his sunglasses in my pocket. So, like, I can really just.
Oh, man. Video version coming in hot.
I honestly think that I should do the episode like this.
I'm just going to try to look at somewhere else on my camera. So,
we have a big bag of sunglasses, and today, my son is not allowed to bring extra things to school because he just plays with them and gets in trouble in class.
As do all children. That's just a general rule to have.
But every day, and it's become a game, and I hate that it's become a game, but it is what it is. He hides things in his backpack every day that I have to find. And so today it was a Slinky and a Dino. And then he was like, I need to bring my sunglasses. I was like, No, you really don't need any of these things.
I love it.
Well, man, how do we even, I just want to talk about summer for the whole time.
Yeah. What's the transition here? I don't know.
What is the transition? I don't know. I don't have one. And you know what? That's all right. But I do have, I think that our topic for today is actually like a really interesting one. And I was talking to, we have a few coaching clients that we work with. And I was talking with one who is working on growing a YouTube channel, and we were just talking about, the principles that you and I have talked about a lot here on the podcast. And, you know, those being, the importance of patience, when it comes to content marketing, not putting, you know, too much pressure on each individual piece of content, but really looking at it as an aggregate, as, you know, kind of a collection of content. But then we've also talked a lot about, just how content marketing is a long game, right? Like this is, you know, this is content performs on a human level. And, you know, we want to see our content, you know, serving the connection of our brand to our audience over a long period of time, and to see that grow steadily. Again, not just looking at each of those individual pieces altogether. But a random example popped in my head, and I remembered a tweet that Mr. Beast had, which is, you told me that you are not familiar with who Mr. Beast is, which is so crazy to me.
Sorry, but I'm good at other things.
But Mr. Beast is the second largest creator on YouTube. And he made a tweet. It was back in 2022 where he just shared the amount of YouTube views he's gotten at every age of his life. So starting at when he was 12 years old, and at this point it was up to when he was 23 years old, and he shared just the number of views. And so in the description of this episode, I want to share a link to a post I made about it so that you can actually see the graphic that we're going to be talking about. But I'm not going to read every single year, but I just want to give like context for why this graphic popped in my head, because I ended up sharing it with that coaching client and really sparked some conversation around this topic. But listen to this. It's crazy. Okay. So at 12 years old, Mr. Beast got 15,000 views. At 13 years old, it dropped. He got 7,000 views that year on YouTube. At 14 years old, he got 41,000. Then it goes up at 15 years old to 125,000, 16 to 202,000. So over the course of his first 5 years creating, he went from a year at 15,000, and it didn't hit 200,000 until his fifth year. Mm-hmm. And even that, like 200,000, it feels like a lot, but it also like isn't like a crazy amount. You know, like that is
a whole year.
for a whole year. I mean, we have, you know, we have multiple podcasts that are doing that in a year. You know, it's like it doesn't sound like crazy and realistic, but it wasn't until year six of his creating that he had a huge jump. He went from 200,000 at age 16 to 5.4 million at age 17. And then it just keeps increasing from there all the way to the last year is 13.2 billion views that year. And I'm sure that it is higher now.
Yeah.
And there's so many angles of why I like really appreciate this, this breakdown and just being able to see this. But the one that I really want to lean in on today, I think it's just like the drastic difference of years one and two in comparison to where he's been on year 13 or 14, whatever that math is. Because I think like a lot of people would look at the first 2 years starting at 15,000 and then dropping to 7,000 the second year. And that would be a signal, especially in corporate environments, I feel like, where there's this pressure to, you know, show results, to get results quickly, to hit the benchmarks and KPIs and, you know, all of the things. Like that would be a signal to most people of like, oh, we tried this, it's not working. And it was a good run. Let's try something else. Instead of looking at that, like, okay, great. Year one was this, year two was a little bit lower and we have some things that we learned, or we were less consistent this year. And I don't know the, you know, the details of what that was for Mr. B specifically, but, I think it's just such a great example of like, there was a dip when he first started that he was able to push through that ultimately led to greater and greater traction. And I think it's incredibly significant that for this person who has become a huge creator on YouTube, was able to stay consistent in those lower years. And I think the reality of like, there wasn't that huge milestone marker until year six. That's so true with content marketing. Yeah. We see that. Like it wasn't it, you know, I know for the podcast that we've helped cross the million download mark, like for most of them, it takes 5 to 6 years to actually do that. And that is a common thing. So those are a lot of thoughts from me just to like start our conversation off. But looking at that breakdown, Kelsey, like what comes to mind for you with that?
Yeah, those were all great thoughts. I think it's like you said, true in corporate world for sure. But I'm also thinking of like dozens of conversations I've had with our more personal small brands where they even feel that way from like 1 week to a next of like, oh, I had this reel that hit 20,000 last week. Well, this week it only hit 5, so I should quit. And it's like, no, like you cannot follow the trajectory like that. Like you will literally drive yourself crazy if you try to do that. So that came to mind as we were talking about this. I also think it's very interesting to look at his numbers and realizing, and we see this with so many of our podcast clients, the more content you put out, the more there is for people to view. So therefore your views go up. So you need to keep putting things out into the world so they can be seen and read and, you know, interacted with. And we have people's podcast episodes that like will continue to grow, you know, we'll track how many listens each episode has, and ones that are even 2 years ago are like still gaining listens and views and all of those things just because it's there and people, you know, the binge worthy content, you know, vibe of things and all of that. So
yeah,
I mean, I think the episode title of this is just like, don't give up. Like if you give up, think about if he would have walked away after that year of 7,000, like what he left on the table versus what you can see when somebody commented on it even and said like the first few years are a grind. And I think that's true about lots of seasons. Like we can even feel that way in our own business of like, this is a grind year, but are you going to walk away and not give a chance for like what could come in the future if you just keep showing up? So.
Yeah. I think it's like, I love that you actually brought that up because we just talked about that in a recent episode. And I mean, we were just talking to a client, I think it was last week, that, and we were just sharing some updated podcast statistics that they see, and they get about like 1,000 downloads every week on the new, like they have a weekly podcast and that new episode in its first week gets about 1,000 downloads. But every week as a whole on their podcast, they are getting 2,000 to 3,000 yeah. downloads. And we were just talking about how it's that example of like, they have this huge library of over 200 episodes of this podcast. And, you know, people are going back and binging content or looking for older, you know, things on a specific topic or mm-hmm. going back to an older episode and, you know, listening again. And I mean, that's how you hit some of these milestones. It's not just mm-hmm. with like new content being super popular right when it's shared. It's by having a huge library of content that answers people's questions, gives value, and is interesting and engaging. And, you know, there's that trust that's built that creates those opportunities for people to binge content. So that is a great mm-hmm. point.
I think too, that reminds me to encourage like our audience, it's fine to repurpose content. Like your content doesn't mm-hmm. lose its value just because like, oh, I talked about that a year ago, or, oh, I talked about that a yep. different, you know, time. And we have some clients who some of their most popular posts are very seasonal, and we'll recirculate it every year of like, here's this letter about sending your kindergartner to school, or here's like this college packing list or whatever. And every year it does great. And there's more views and there's more trust built and it's value that's mm-hmm. given. And so I think there's also this tendency in our world to think like, I have to do something new and groundbreaking every time I share a piece of content. That isn't true either.
Yes. To all of the things that we have said. Yeah. I think like when we do put a lot of pressure on ourselves to, you know, always be coming up with something new, and, you know, like we are looking at our content marketing strategy the wrong way, right? Like we're thinking about it in a way that, again, is like every individual piece mm-hmm. has to be perfect. Every individual piece has to be new, has to be groundbreaking. And we're not looking at it from the long-term perspective of consistency, not just from a timing perspective, but consistency in what we're saying. Like, mm-hmm. I know we've talked multiple times about like a person like Gary Vee, you know, has been like saying the same thing for like 10, I mean, longer than that, but a really long time. And, you know, all of his content is saying it in different ways, but it's like the same messages are coming across. And that can happen for each of our brands as well. Like we can look at it in that aggregate way and keep repeating those messages, but it's going to help us be consistent so we build trust easier, and be consistent from a timing perspective because we're not trying to create something, you know, totally groundbreaking and new every yeah. single time. And again, that is how we stay consistent for 10 to 13 years and see that momentum, and that's that kind of that momentum increase.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I would argue that you will burn out less and you will like what you're doing more if you're not trying to create something completely yeah. groundbreaking and fresh and new every time. Not that we want to put out stale content, but like you're saying, you can say the same thing. It doesn't have to be this brand new, you know, concept every single time. I think our culture right now is very into viral content, and I love viral mm-hmm. content too. I love when our clients' content goes viral.
Pretty sweet. Yeah.
But that's not playing the long game. Like that's a piece of it for sure. We want our content to be relatable. We want it to hit mm-hmm. people and, you know, cause them to have some sort of connection with it. But if the only thing we're doing is trying to create content that fits into this bucket where like this will go viral, we're going to miss that connection piece. We're going to miss the long game and the ability mm-hmm. to just keep creating content that's going to land with people in lots of different places. And then we're going to get burnout and we're going to get frustrated and we're going to get, you know, just discouraged by seeing like not every piece of content goes viral. That is a like hard and fast rule. Even I'm sure Mr. Beast, I'm sure not every single piece of his content yeah. is going viral in the same way. Of course, there's going to be lots of variables there. So mm-hmm. I think if I was going to encourage, you know, our listeners today, it's spending time creating content that you enjoy, but it's also just getting clear on your messaging and knowing the people that you're talking to. Because if you're clear on that, yeah. you can say that over and over and over again and just bring some freshness to the way you're saying it. And then you have a content strategy that's going to last you way longer than just trying to yeah. jump on each trend that comes up.
Yeah, 100%. And we talked about this in a recent episode too, but I want to bring it up on the viral content. It's like what we talked about in that episode was that when we have seen content go viral, it is not the content that went viral itself that is like the game changer for their brands. You know, like even if that leads to an uptick in like people who are following them, or, you know, people who, you know, just start seeing their content more because they engaged with it. Either one, like that's not what's leading to like conversion. That's not what's leading to like,
right.
you know, people actually taking a step with a brand, because it's actually like the consistency that follows that first interaction, right, that is the game changer for, mm-hmm, for those brands. And that's, I mean, that's, it comes back to that same principle of like why that consistency matters, because that if that viral piece of content is operating on its own, it is going to do nothing for you other than entertain the person who's watching it, which is valuable. Mm-hmm. But it is not going to, you know, lead to these big game changing results in your business. It is the consistency for 3, 5, 7, 10 years that will lead to those game changing kind of moments for and connections and opportunities for your business. So it comes back down, you know, all of these things that we're saying really comes back to our encouragement for you to stay consistent and to not let the whims of people's interest or just like how, mm-hmm, content marketing works to affect whether or not you are keeping it as part of your strategy. Cause like whatever you are leveraging, whether it's social, whether it's podcasts, blogs, emails, anything else, you are going to have years that are awesome, that you are seeing like some, mm-hmm, great progress, and you're going to have years that you might stall out or that you might go backwards a little bit. And, you know, there are always things that we can learn and tweak and adjust. But you having steady progress or having less progress in a year is not a reason to cut content marketing from your strategy. It's all part of that kind of, it's a typical journey that, mm-hmm, people are taking. And I really want to encourage each of the people listening to like go check out the graphic, go check out the post that is linked, because I think it's inspiring. You know, like even if the majority of us won't hit 13 billion views on our content in a year, but the principle like remains the same of, you know, you don't want to miss out on those big opportunities in the future because you are so focused on needing specific milestones, specific results in the now that keeps you from being consistent enough to actually see that momentum and see those growth opportunities. I think that's what it comes down to.
So good. Say it louder for the people in the back. Progress. Okay. Progress is not up and to the right. It is normal to see fluctuations. So Keep going. We're cheering you on. If you need support on it, we're here in your corner, but don't give up.
There it is. All right. We'll keep it simple. I think that those are the points. That's what we wanted to, say. Yep. So today, think about that. Be ruminating on it. Also, we're sending some summer vibes your way.
Yes. Buy a trampoline.
We'll buy a trampoline.
Live your summer.
Yeah. Enjoy it. But we hope you have a great week, and we'll see you on the next episode of Marketing Should Be Fun.
Hey, thanks for listening in to today's episode of the Marketing Should Be Fun podcast. We share an episode every other week, so make sure to hit the subscribe button on your favorite podcast platform. We'd also love to connect with you on social, so come hang out on Instagram at savagecontent.co or sign up for email updates on our website. All right, friend, here's your reminder that marketing is something you get to do, not something you have to do. We'll see you next time.